guys, what's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and today is, pretty sure it is August 2nd, 2016. I am fantastically excited to be here because, hey, I'm in my new studio, that's right. Main reason the show's been delayed, actually, probably over the last couple of days, is my friends Sean, Kevin, Kelly, Vito, everyone in my extended friends up here in Shelburne has been helping me clean up the studio over the course of the last 2 weeks. And that means I finally have a workable space. If you've been following my Twitter and Instagram, which is at Birdman Dodd, you've seen some of the progress that we've made. So that means a lot of stuff has been sold off, a lot of stuff's been purged. But what that also means is I now have an actual floor space. And I now have what we call the recording throne, not quite the iron throne, but close enough, where I can sit and record in relative comfort. And actually right now, I'm actually trying something else new. So you might notice the sound quality being a little bit different than what you're normal to. I'm actually recording this using a handheld microphone and just kind of sitting back and just kind of being in the middle of the room, kind of taking in the atmosphere, if you will, just to seeing if this is a more comfortable thing that I want to proceed, or do I want to have a mic stand come down from the ceiling, or dangle a piece of microphone from the ceiling and see if I like that to record a little bit better, so I can be like those old 1950s radio announcers with the whole sheeny approach to it, which is like an audio processor that we have for 1950s stuff. But anyway, I'm boring the hell out of you. But anyway, guys, so like I said, this should be the first regular Nerd News back. Hopefully I'm going to start getting these out on Sundays again. That is the idea anyway. Last week we had San Diego Comic-Con, which was exciting. This past weekend was Con Bravo in Hamilton, to which I actually decided to take a year off as a guest. I was a guest earlier this year, but I decided, you know what, guys, need to take a break, got to step away from everything. Glad that I did. However, though, I hear a number of you were excited to meet fellow terrible warriors such as Derek the Bard, Steve Snowball Sailor, Tom, he's an evil genius white, and definitely thank you for all the fan interactions. In fact, my favorite stalker, Steph, made a little Psyduck. If you follow me on Twitter, I have a Psyduck as my avatar, and she made a Psyduck, and that was incredible. So I got pictures with a lot of people. Basically, there's always the hashtag birdwatch, and then it's the year. So she makes me feel remarkably special. I'm very happy that she does that for me every year. And people brought me Ecto Cooler, which was tremendously exciting. So I'm looking forward to being able to actually have that at some point later on, because Derek forgot it at Justin's place. So hopefully I'll have that before the weekend if Justin gets a chance to mail it up before then. So big thanks to, I think it was Maureen, brought me some, and Dodger brought me up some. So looking forward to having some Ecto Cooler in my near future, because hey, who are you gonna call? Now, to get this, to get to what's going on for this month, as you guys heard, we had the topic show just the other day on the new Ghostbusters movie. Primarily is where we focused, actually, not the overall franchise that I envisioned, but I think we had a really good conversation about it, so I'm really glad that's the way that that went down. This month, we're not quite sure what we're going to do just yet for a topic show. We're still kind of deciding it. But since this is Nerd News, let's talk about what happened in the Nerd News this week. So this week, I actually have a Blu-ray review for you for The Killing Joke, coming to us from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. I'm also going to be talking to you about some Netflix casting, which I think is surprisingly well done, all things considered. We're also going to talk about what's going on with a woolly mammoth and some cloning attempts. We're going to talk a little bit of TV with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Game of Thrones' final season, and a cultural icon is finally going to rest after 20 years, 7 movies, and, or is it 8 movies and 7 books? Either way, Patronus Expelliana or something. I'm sure you get where I'm going with that one. Okay, so let's talk about the first thing. So, as you guys know, Netflix is going to be doing an adaptation of the manga and anime Death Note, and that's supposed to come out at some point next year. Well, one of the people that has been cast as the voice of Ryuk, who is Light's Shinigami, which is basically their death spirit, the one that controls the actual Death Note notebooks, Ryuk, well, we're going to be getting the Green Goblin himself. Willem Dafoe is going to be the voice of Ryuk. And when you really sit back and compare him to the original Ryuk from the anime, that's actually really inspired. I think that's actually a really good casting choice for them to go forward with him, because Willem Dafoe has this very distinct voice, and if he channels his inner creepy Green Goblin, I think he could have some real fun with this role, too. I mean, I'm very curious to know how they're going to approach how they're going to do this. I mean, is this going to be a series of little movies? Is it going to be like a TV series, like, say, Stranger Things? I'm curious, but I think Willem Dafoe is fantastic casting for this. As long as it looks better than the previous live-action Death Notes, because their Ryuk looks goofy as all shit, and I'm kind of hoping for a practical makeup effect as opposed to CGI. Certain creatures can be CGI. I think with Ryuk, you could go either way, but you're going to have to go big budget on either or. You can't half-ass CG and you can't half-ass practical, so I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with that particular thing. So looking forward to seeing that. That will be coming out next year. One of the things that, as you guys know, huge, huge fan of, is I'm a huge fan of Marvel on television. And this last year's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I wouldn't say it disappointed. I actually thought it was quite good. I got about three quarters through the season before I just got too busy. So I haven't seen the season finale, though I know what happens with the Inhumans and Ward and Hive and all that shit. And basically how the spoilers, sorry, it's August now. Lincoln has died, unfortunately. Daisy Quake is on the run. S.H.I.E.L.D. has been re-legitimized because of the Sokovia Accords, which is basically the Age of Ultron aftermath mixed with Civil War's aftermath. So they're talking about this, and I guess I'm just going to read you what this is, the official synopsis for season 4. In the aftermath of their journey to another planet, director Phil Coulson and the rest of the team were driven to put more than ever an end to the Hydra organization. Little did they know they were up against the deadliest threat they've ever faced, an extremely powerful inhuman Hive who was transported from Maveth into the body of their worst enemy, Grant Ward. The team was able to thwart and kill Hive and take down Hydra, but they're still mourning the death of fellow agent and inhuman Lincoln Campbell. In the light of the Sokovia Accords, with the Hydra obliterated, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been legitimized again and no longer needs to operate in the shadows. Since the world presumes that Coulson is dead, the world needed a new director to be the face of the organization. Coulson finds himself back in the role as an agent, teamed with Mac, and together they are tasked with tracking down and confirming the presence of enhanced people, a.k.a. Inhumans. They've been trying to track down and capture Daisy, a.k.a. Quake, who's gone rogue in an attempt to atone for sins from the past. But with the world believing that Daisy is a dangerous outlaw who has taken down banks and bridges, the new director has no qualms about taking her down for good. Agent May is tasked with training specialist strike teams, and Fitz and Simmons have taken a big step forward in their relationship. But with Simmons' new promotion as special advisor to the director in science and technology, Fitz as well as her former team member finds it hard to confide or trust her since she's now the director's confidant. Robbie Reyes will roar into the lives of Agent Coulson and the team as the junkyard mechanic who can turn on a dime into the terrifying Ghost Rider. Will Robbie be a friend to S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as the world itself? Meanwhile, Fitz discovers that socially awkward genius and friend Dr. Radcliffe has started putting the finishing touches on a new secret invention. So yeah, they're bringing Ghost Rider to the show. That's been officially confirmed. And it's not the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, which makes me question, okay. And I guess I'm okay, because everyone's going to assume the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider is the goofiest shit Nicolas Cage. And I'm guessing the sooner we forget that, probably the better. And I'm curious to know where that's going to go. Does the fact that you're introducing the Ghost Rider into the show means you're now starting to introduce the more mystic elements of the Marvel Universe? And this being the year of magic with Marvel, especially with Doctor Strange coming out in November, and even with Daredevil kind of hinting at it towards the ass end of its season two, and now you got Luke Cage coming out in September, I'm wondering how they're going to introduce the Mystic into the worlds of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I remember reading another Netflix article saying maybe the worlds of Marvel are not as connected as they should be. Like, you're not going to see as much crossover anymore. Because we haven't seen, like I said, Jeremy Renner has openly said, yeah, I will do Hawkeye on TV if you let me. Stuff like that. I think even Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk said, yeah, I'd show up if you got something for me. And yet they don't want to do that. I can see why, because they don't want to necessarily have to confuse people by saying, oh yeah, if you want to understand what's going on with, you know, Dr. Banner, better catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I can see that, but I can also see at the same time, why not cross-pollinate your kind of universes, let them breathe a little bit? You could have a lot of fun, especially with maybe Coulson popping up, even if it was just for a couple seconds in, like, the next Avengers movie. I don't know, but they're also saying never say never. Like, we could see Daredevil or somebody show up in, like, the Avengers or something. So I think that'd be cool. I really do. I hope they do more references in the show, or maybe show the worlds are more connected. They're just not at the hip, so to speak. So I don't know. I think Ghost Rider is a pretty brave choice in terms of not just a CGI character, in terms of what that character can bring to the show. I mean, maybe we'll see Blackheart like we did in the movies, where he's the son of Mephisto. I'm kind of wondering what other bad guys you could bring along, because I know Baron Mordo is in Doctor Strange, but I don't know a lot of other Mystic Marvel heroes or Marvel bad guys. Now, I can think of a few I'd love to see. And if you're a fan of the 90s stuff, and this is where I was super hardcore Marvel, I'd love to see Darkhawk. I'd love to see Sleepwalker, because Sleepwalker could be a really easy effect. Darkhawk could be, that's just a practical costume, virtually. So who's to say? I don't know, maybe we get some Young Avengers in there. Who knows? But that's what we got for that. Moving on to my next television story. This one, I can't say surprises me, and it's, you know, no big surprise to anybody who's been following the story for quite some time. HBO has officially confirmed that Game of Thrones will end after season 8. But they're not closing the door on the possibility of a spinoff. Which, I don't know, you look at how successful Angel was after Buffy. Stuff like that. So it's not like spinoffs can't be quality. Look at Frasier and Cheers, right? So and all the NCIS or, I don't know, fucking, see, I don't watch these shows, but I know Blair does. There's all these, like, NCIS, Criminal Minds, CSIs, whatever. I don't know. I don't watch them. I know they always catch the bad guy, though. But we know we only have, like, 13 episodes left after this. And season 7 starting late because, you know, winter literally has to get there. But Game of Thrones executive producers David Benioff and D.B. Weiss said there's only going to be 2 more seasons of the series. So what they said with HBO programming president Casey Bloys is, yes, they have a very specific plan about the number of seasons they want to do. Believe me, as the new programming executive coming in, if I could get them to do more, I would take 10 more seasons. But we take their lead on what they think they can do for the best version of the show. And when they further started talking to Bloys about this, he said, we've talked about it. It's something I'm not opposed to, but of course it has to make sense creatively. I'm not so sure the guys could really wrap their heads around it when they're just about to start production. It's a pretty intense production. They're about to start production soon, so I'm open to it. The guys aren't opposed to it, but there's no concrete plans for it at this point. So this series just recently got 23 Primetime Emmy nominations, which is the most of any nominee for like the 3rd year in a row. It's gotten nominations for Outstanding Drama, Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, which goes to my man Peter Dinklage and Kit Harington. 3 for Outstanding Supporting Actress, which is Emilia Clarke, Lena Headey, and Maisie Williams. God, I love Arya Stark. Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series, Max von Sydow, who was like the Three-Eyed Raven, I guess. And 2 for Outstanding Director in a Drama Series. And Outstanding Writing in a Drama Series as well. So the series, they're just kind of wait. They're going to wait, like I said, a little while to get things filming. We're supposed to see it next summer. My guess is we'll probably see it in like July or something. Honestly, if they're smart, they'll premiere the episode before Comic-Con. Huge panel. Daenerys Stormborn will fly in on a dragon. Stuff will blow up. It will be amazing. But still, a spinoff show. I don't know what I'd want out of that because I don't want to see the further adventures of Tyrion Lannister. I don't want to see what happens to these characters after, you know, because I'm in my mind, the final season will be the battle of the Lannisters versus Westeros, because Cersei now controls the throne, and it will be probably the sacking of King's Landing by her dragons and them losing one, and then it'll be all of Westeros versus the White Walkers. I don't want to know what happens to Jon Snow after he wins, or after they win. Now, if you did a prequel series, I might be okay with that. Like, maybe follow them along the wall, or maybe show me, pick another smaller house. Hell, if they set a series 30 years in the future with Lady Mormont, that little girl who basically said, "We're with you no matter what," or, you know, or basically stared people down or whatever, I'd be down for that. If they did either far future or far past, that'd be okay. Sort of kind of like treating it almost like a role play game, so to speak, in terms of how you approach the property. But they've got a lot of ground to cover in 13 episodes, which means the series is going to be done before he's done the last goddamn book, which I think is utterly hilarious. But hey, we're all on the same page, if you pardon the pun. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with it, though. Either way, I'm pretty excited to see what happens on the future of Game of Thrones. So one of the last stories that I want to talk about today, and this has probably more to do with people like Blair and other people who are really into this fandom, whereas I'm not. So this past weekend, they released the print copies of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is, I guess, Acts 1 and 2 or whatever. So you can now read it as like a play. I haven't read it yet. Blair's probably borrowing the book from our friend Kelly like tonight. But she says she's confirmed that the boy who lived has come to an end. Harry goes on a very big journey during these two plays. And then, yeah, I think we're done. This is the next generation, you know. So I'm thrilled to see it realized so beautifully, but no. Harry is done now. But that doesn't mean that we won't see him again. It says she's not willing, or it doesn't say that. Basically, she's done writing the series, but it doesn't mean she couldn't license it out to someone. And it doesn't mean that we wouldn't see someone else who isn't Harry continue on the world of like Harry Potter. And in fact, I'm actually really surprised that we haven't seen something like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them a lot earlier. Like, personally, I want to know more about these magic schools that exist in the U.S. I want to know more about just the magical. I want to know more about how the Ministry of Magic works, stuff like that. Like, I'm very interested in the bureaucracy of how it all works. I'm very interested to see, are there magical threats worse than Voldemort that we've just never heard of, sort of thing. And I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to adulterize, if that's the right word, to make too grown up the world of Harry Potter, because it's supposed to be a very whimsical world and whatnot. But can you just imagine a magically powered serial killer in that world? Like, what would the ministry do to stop them? What would you do if someone was like illegally breeding dragons or something? Like, how do you keep something like that off the lid? Off, like, hell, like, there's got to be people in the ministry who go around stopping muggles who get a little too close. I'm not saying, like, assassinate them, but wipe their memories. Maybe the Men in Black. Hell, you could almost do a Men in Black crossover with this, realistically. That's probably jumping the shark too much. But still, you get my point. You get my point. So anyway, final story that I want to talk about today. I found this one kind of cool. Is that they've now taken a very important step into cloning a mammoth, which, if you don't know, is the giant woolly elephant, so to speak, that we typically think when we think caveman. So Russian and Korean scientists have made an important first step into recreating a live woolly mammoth. So there's the World Mammoth Center, which is in Yatsik. They say, as a result of tireless joint efforts, we've achieved what we call the initial stage on our way to recovering the mammoth. This comes out of South Korean cloning expert, Professor Hwang Woo-suk. We continue the search for new material and samples. We need cells that can share information. We continue the search. Sorry, I was rereading that part. If we could find a sample that is not only well-preserved, but also in which biochemical processes can take place, we will be able to impregnate it from within with the help of Asian elephant materials. Now, unfortunately, these mammoths went extinct about 10,000 years ago. However, though, recent evidence has suggested that a small population may have survived until as recently as 3,600 years ago. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. We could see this happen very much so within the next 10, 15, 20 years, which I think is amazingly cool. The fact that we could bring back a friggin' woolly mammoth, and now if we could bring back saber-toothed tigers, the woolly rhinoceros, but that also means so much that we could repopulate decimated populations of other animals, too, ones that have went extinct, but and then there's that age-old question. Is it right to play God? Well, I don't know. I'm certainly not the person you should probably be asking about that, because, hey, I love to play with power. I also love to play with things I don't understand. This is probably not one of those times where I should be in charge of stuff like this. Okay, so final story, because I'm losing my voice here. I can actually feel it. So, The Killing Joke from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. So this came out on Blu-ray today, but it's been out on digital for about a week now. So for those of you that don't know, The Killing Joke is written by, I want to say, Alan Moore, art by Brian Boland, and it's one of those iconic Joker Batman stories. This is where we get the Red Hood. This is where we figure, is this the Joker's real background, that he was just some failed comedian, tried to be a good guy, went nuts after one bad day? And this is where Barbara Gordon gets shot, becomes Oracle. And, you know, it's one of the most important Batman stories of probably the last 20 years. And everybody hypes it up to be this amazing thing. And truth be told, it's a good read. It really is. It's disturbing at some points because you see what the Joker does to try and break Commissioner Gordon's spirit over Barbara by posting pictures of her in various states of undress to potentially raping her, sort of thing. It's a very dark storyline. It's not meant to be all whimsical. It's showing the darker side of the Joker. He's a lunatic. Sure, he may hit you with a joy buzzer, but he's also going to take everything he possibly can from you because it's funny to him. But I digress. So The Killing Joke movie, it's an hour and change, and it's kind of faithfully adapted. Hear me out. So the movie, it's almost like it's two separate stories happening. The last half that adapts The Killing Joke is at times panel perfect in how it approaches things, and it's really fantastic. The first half of the movie concentrates on an emotionally distant Batman with Barbara Gordon sort of trying to weasel in the Batman's life as only she can. And eventually, there's this criminal they're both trying to chase down. This criminal is taunting Batgirl to try and get in her head. She's gotten way too close to the situation. Batman's like, no, you cannot be involved anymore. You're getting too close. Something bad's going to happen to you. You need the GTFO and get out of here. And she's like, no, I won't do it. I'll prove to you that I'm so powerful and blah, 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 blah. And eventually, randomly, they end up having sex on top of a bridge. And this is one of the first, actually, I'm pretty sure this is the first DC animated movie that has an R rating. And it feels like such a waste. And I'm not saying because you don't see animated boobs or anything. No, you very clearly see Barbara Gordon taking off her shirt. But you just see enough that suggests They're going to have sex, and that's about it. And there's no real excessive violence here. They could have really pushed the envelope to show how disturbing the Joker could be, which I'm kind of glad that they didn't, because, you know, we know he's pretty messed up. But instead, we get a musical number, which is just okay. Just okay. And it's not to say that the performances by Tara Strong, Kevin Conroy, and Mark Hamill are bad. No, in fact, the performances in this movie are really, really, really strong, despite what they have to work with. And it's the second half of this movie that definitely saves it. Because the first half, you can entirely skip. But when Barbara gets shot in the spine, you need that first half to know what she's lost, to know how much of a connection she was to Batman, to know how good she was as Batgirl. She was an asset to Gotham City, and how tragic it is now she won't be able to do any of that with, you know, her being stuck in a wheelchair sort of thing. So, I don't know. I mean, the Killing Joke, it's got some good special features on it. I mean, there's a really cool documentary that kind of goes into how they adapted it. There's also one based on the music. And there's the typical, you know, here's a couple episodes with the Joker in them from the DC Vault sort of thing. This is one of those DC movies I recommend you see, but it's not necessarily worth a day one buy. There's also a special edition that comes with a Joker action figure. I'm not particularly fond of how that figure looks. It looks like it's better quality than, I think it was called Of Gods and Men, or whatever the hell it was from a couple years ago, or last year rather, for DC. So, I don't know. The Killing Joke, it's worth seeing, but it's not necessarily worth a buy right now. I might recommend wait till Christmas or wait till Black Friday. There's inevitably going to be a sale on it. It's definitely worth having in your collection, but you don't necessarily need to go out of your way to do it either. It's not going to be hard to find cheap sooner rather than later anyway. So that is my brief review of Batman the Killing Joke here on Nerd News Network. Like I said, hopefully I'll have some more stuff coming up for you guys later in the week. I know we've got a Pokemon Go show scheduled for the prototype. I think we're recording that tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. Bot Stroll will likely happen on the weekend, because I have to record Ghostbusters with the rest of the guys and Tiffany on Thursday, so I'll get that out as soon as I possibly can. And like I said, another nerd news as we approach the weekend. So anyway, guys, I'm glad to be back. Thank you all for sticking with me over these very difficult few weeks to the last couple months. And welcome back, Dodd. It's awesome. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.